Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. Glad to have you with us today. We're going to be entering now into the season of ordinary time or ordinary days following Pentecost. And we begin this Sunday with Holy Trinity. We'll be talking about the Trinity today and what that means for us and our participation in the life of Father, Son, and Spirit. We'll have a prayer. We'll talk about our message today, have communion together, read some scripture, and a close of the benediction. So that's kind of our agenda for today. So let's begin with a word of prayer. We thank you, God, that we can be together today. Thank you for your love, your life, for letting us be a part of what you're doing and be included in your life by being your very beloved children. And so today, Heavenly Spirit, we pray you would make Jesus real to us, that you would awaken us to deeper faith, understanding, greater knowledge of who you are, God, as Father, Son, Spirit, the God who loves us and has included us in your life. And so we pray this, Jesus, in your heavenly name. Amen. So, talking about living in the triune gift, because last week we were at Pentecost and we experienced and talked about the coming of the Spirit, Jesus having lived our life, died our death, and ascended, resurrected, ascended, sends the Spirit from the Father so we can share individually in all he has done for us in his finished work. And so as we ponder today and on into this season of ordinary days, we're going to look at what it means that we're included in God's life and love. What does it mean that God is calling us together by the Spirit into community and to be a part of what he's doing in this world? And what does that look like for us? Because really, we a lot of times don't pay attention to the reality that right now, no matter where we're at, what we're doing, we're participating in what God's doing in this world. Sometimes we're doing it and we know we're participating. A lot of times we don't even realize. And even our everyday tasks are a part of the things God is doing in this world. And so, as we look at Jesus dying and then rising, and then we see him ascending into heaven, all of that process is, and then he sends the Spirit. All of that was moving toward the gathering together of the body of Christ by the Spirit and to do what God wants done in this world. In Matthew 28, 16 to 20, which is one of the readings for today, we see what is often called the Great Commission. And this is where Jesus says, I was sent by the Father. Father has given me authority over all things now in heaven and earth. And he says, go. And as you're going, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teach them all things, And then he says also, I'm with you and I'll be with you to the end. And so the significant things as we move forward into this life with Christ and the Spirit, we got to remember Jesus is Lord of all and he's King of Kings. And he's been given all authority in heaven and earth. That means in his divine person as Son of God, but also in his humanity as Son of Man, he bears all authority in heaven and earth, and he is present near to us, in us, with us by his Holy Spirit. And so he is with us always, ever. And when we keep those things in mind and we're moving forward into what he has in mind for us as his people, being sent as he was sent by the Father, we're sent by Jesus into this world to share the good news. We remember that Jesus is always and ever present in us, with us by the Spirit, and that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have such great hope because of that. So going on with the story, as the church began to move out after Pentecost and people came to faith in Christ, the gathering together of the body of Christ began. People began to gather together, to pray together, to study the word, the scriptures together, to listen to God's teachings together, and grow up in Christ, to learn more about him and what it meant to be his God's children, you know, his beloved. And as they're meeting together, gradually God began to bring people into their fellowship who did not know any of the Jewish costumes from that day or any of the teachings. They're new believers. And so you had Jews and what we call Gentiles together in the church. And some of them were more familiar with the pagan customs and the ways of their society than they were the Jewish customs or the Jewish way of living. And so you had both coming together, and the early church began to be challenged in different areas in finding their unity. It's a real challenge. And so we see that was one of the things about the Apostle Paul's letters, in this case to the Corinthians, is who we'll be talking about today. In 2 Corinthians 13, 11 to 13, he just got done. This is the second letter in the scriptures. He wrote more than that, but this is the second one that's in our Bible today to the Corinthians. And he closes it by actually writing in his own hand to show this was important to him. He wanted this to really be stressed. It was the point of his letter. And so he says, finally, brothers and sisters. So notice he calls them brothers and sisters. He does not set himself above them. He sets himself within the fellowship of believers. And he says, brothers and sisters, farewell, which is a common thing to write in a letter or to say when you're leaving people, is to wish them well. But he says, put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. So he gives a final benediction to his letter, and the focus is on unity. People in that church were caught up in either how they always did things, or in their social order, who was higher, who was lower, what made them better. I have more spiritual gifts than you, so I must have a better position. You know, there was all this wrong way of looking at what it means to live together in the body of Christ. And so Paul gives a farewell, his personal touch to the letter. And then he says, put things in order. It says in the New Revised Standard Version. You can read in some of the other translations, say things like aim for full restoration, be made complete. There was an idea of pull all this together that I told you, put it into effect and start living together, worshiping together, gathering together in a way that was in unity and order, in harmony and oneness, and begin to look like who you are as God's people. Put things in order. And he's telling him, you know, put aside your differences. You don't need to. I mean, God created us with distinctions. We're supposed to honor what makes us uniquely ourselves. But when one person's uniquely ourself becomes the only thing, then that's not unity, that's sameness. And that's not what God intended. God intended all of our differences to come together into a whole that is healthier and more beneficial than just the one. And so, because that's who God is, that's the way God does things. So Paul is saying, put aside your differences, be who you are as God's beloved children, bound together by the Holy Spirit. So one of the things our dear Spirit does is bring together people who would not otherwise be together, bring together relationships that would not otherwise be compatible. The Holy Spirit can change hearts, change minds, and bring a unity that would not otherwise exist. And I've seen this happen and experienced it myself. So Paul just encourages them, you know, participate in what God's doing to bring about unity. Put aside your differences. Don't hang on to that. Paul is calling to them to unity. He's saying, be like-minded, live in peace. There's a way to be distinctly yourself. They are distinctly themselves, and yet be like-minded. Have that unity that is in Christ by the Spirit. Because, you know, it looks just like Father, Son, and Spirit, in whose image all of us were made. And so Paul is calling them, stop with this exclusivism that's common in your society. Stop doing that. You know, stop saying that because you're not in my club, then, you know, you're not going to be a part of my fellowship. You know, no, that wasn't the way it needed to be. The ethnic differences, the racial differences, whatever it was, male or female, Paul's saying you're all one in Christ. So live like it. Live in the truly inclusive, caring, sharing ways with one another that show others who you are as God's children. It's interesting that John kind of says something similar that Jesus had taught the disciples before he was crucified. He said, you know, you need to love one another and prove to others who you are. You're my disciples, and you show that by how you treat one another and how you live together in oneness and unity and harmony, in other-centered love. And so even Jesus, that teaching that Paul's giving us comes straight from the Lord. And so this is what he wants from us. And Jesus said that when we live in that way of other-centered unity and love, that we will have an inner joy from the Holy Spirit. There is a joy that comes when you live like that. And he wants us to experience that joy because that is God's joy. God lives in that kind of joy, and he shares it with us by the Spirit. And see, there we come to the key. We just got done going through Pentecost last week. And in the giving of the Holy Spirit, so every person can individually participate by the Spirit in what Christ has done for all. And in the Spirit, when the Spirit comes, when we're open and receive and obedient to the Spirit, we find that we can be like-minded. We can be at peace with one another. It's the indwelling presence of Jesus, Father, Spirit in us that makes us one, that brings us together. And I don't know, I know for many of us who follow Christ, who are believers, have had that experience of going into a church we've never been in before and knowing and experiencing a unity, a oneness, and a peace that is just beautiful and wonderful. You just know they're your brothers and sisters. You just know it because the Spirit is so present there. And it's just the Spirit brings us together and creates this unity and oneness. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's a gift from God. It's what God always meant us to have. This is what God always wanted for us. And so he worked it out for us in Christ. Gives it to us through and by his Holy Spirit. And so as we participate in that unity, that oneness, that other-centered love, we experience joy, God's joy. And that's what God wants for us, is joy. Now, sad to say, so often our attempts at unity on our own tend to lean more toward trying to create sameness, trying to get everyone to do the same thing or be the same. We try to attain unity in our own strength. And it often creates more problems, causes division. It can be really hurtful at times. It can be unhelpful. And when we're focused on doing what the culture demands of us, what other people demand of us, when we're trying to meet the expectations of others and we lose our own personal distinctiveness and we lose our ability to join together in unity by the Spirit. See, when Christ is not the center, unity disappears. And we lose even ourself, our ability to be who God created us to be, because we're busy trying to be something else. And so we want to stay focused on Christ, be receptive to and obedient to the Spirit, and let the Spirit bind us together. Sometimes we have to set aside our preferences, but not lose our distinctions. There is a difference. And sometimes we just have to do that for unity, for the sake of unity. But Paul talks a lot about this in the Corinthians. To really take some time to study that is worthwhile, especially the chapter on love and what it looks like that God is love. Yeah. So, and we're made in the image of that to live in love. And Jesus was the one who is that expression in human flesh of other-centered love. You know, when we allow our individualism, which is how we're raised in this Western civilization, in America especially, we tend to be very individualistic. It's what I want, my opinion, my expectations, my preference, my money, my, you know, just put my in front of it, and that's us. When that reigns, it's very hard to have a true unity. And when other people are seen as the enemy, or they're seen as lower than us, higher than us, you know, we don't see them as brothers and sisters, which they are, we lose our personhood, who we are, is the way it, made in the image of the God who is other-centered, who is one and yet has uniqueness within the Father, Son, Spirit personhood. And so we were each meant to be our very own self, but to live together in relationship with others and to be in right relationship with God. That's who we are. When we don't live like that, when we get focused on our individual, being an individual on our own, by ourselves, we can do it ourselves. We go places God never meant for us to go. And there's a lot of hurt involved. But it just teaches us that our best efforts can sometimes hurt others. Our best efforts don't do what is needed. And that's just basically the story from the beginning. We as human beings have tried to do it ourselves. We just can't get it right. And that's why Jesus came. Because he did for us and is doing in and through us what we need. We need him. We need his grace. We need his transforming love and grace and power by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to bring us together into fellowship, into oneness, into unity. We need him to transform our hearts and minds and enable us to see each other's opinions, to understand one another's points of view, to come to a healthier view of ourselves so that we see others the way that we should. To start being responsible for what is ours, so we'll stop trying to be responsible for everyone else's. I mean, there's all of these things that the Spirit does for us, and we can be so grateful that God is willing to and is working to bring us together as we participate. We don't resist the Spirit. We don't quench the Spirit. We don't insult the Spirit. We participate in God's gifty unity. So there we go. You know, we try to do it on our own. It's not going to work. We do need to do our part, but it's the Spirit who brings us together, and we participate with what God wants to do to bring us together. Sometimes that means we die to self, live to Christ. Sometimes we lay down our life. Sometimes we pick up our cross. There are things we have to do that are part of unity that we may not prefer to do. But it's God's gift to us, though, in our hearts and our minds, a desire and ability to be one in the way that God is one. We're made in the image of God to reflect his glory. And he lives as Father, Son, Spirit, unique persons, equal and yet one. And we're made in the image of that God to live in that way. That's who we are. And so just we need to be who we are. Be who we are. And so that brings us to communion. And what's interesting is, so often, communion can actually be a place of division instead of unity. But we don't want that. We want to remember that all of us died with Christ. We all rose with Christ. We all share in his glory, both now and forever. We want to put our faith in Christ, not in ourselves, and receive his life and his death. As he offers it to us by the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Spirit, thank you for coming and giving us the unity that is your very own unity as Father, Son, and Spirit. We pray that in Jesus we might be one as the body of Christ, both in our overall, all the churches together, that we may be one as the body of Christ, but even in our individual churches, that there may be unity and oneness, and even among all people everywhere, Lord, that there might be a move of your Spirit to bring unity and oneness. I think about our politics. We need your unity. We need your oneness. Think about so many other ways in which we need you to make us one. And we thank you, Jesus, for dying our death and rising, for shedding your blood. Thank you for giving us yourself so we could come together at the table with gratitude and praise in your name, Jesus. Amen. Is there somebody you're at odds with today? Is there some relationship that there just isn't any unity in your life today? Let's take a moment and just seek God's grace for that and strength, and ask His Spirit to bring you together in a new way. Thank you, Spirit. We need you to bring us together. Forgive us our obsession with ourselves and our unforgiveness and the things we say and do. Make us one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together, the body of Christ. And we'll take the wine or grape juice. Thank you, Jesus, for pouring out your life for us. So now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I hope you have a lovely week, and I'd love to see you again here at Our Life in the Trinity. May God bless you.